Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Ramey. We're your hosts, here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Yes. So what happened today in history?
Our main topic's going to be some tragedies that happened in Grundy, Virginia. But our today in history, we are recording on June 7th. So on the morning of June 7th, 1692, a massive earthquake hit Port Royal, Jamaica.
Port Royal, like the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, thousands of people died because of the strong earthquake itself. It turned the ground into mush because they didn't realize, I guess, that they were building on loose soil. And this caused buildings to sink into the ground. Imagine how terrifying.
Yeah.
It also didn't help that the earthquake triggered a tsunami that caused about half of Port Royal to be submerged in about 40 feet of water.
That's all terrifying.
Because the ground was basically liquid mud, the bodies from the cemeteries floated up to the surface in the harbor.
That happens a lot in New Orleans. Happened a lot in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's why you got crypts instead of graves.
Yeah. Many of the 6,500 residents had their homes and businesses basically floating on the water because it was a thin strip of land that was right by the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was. In the 1600s, it was a popular place, as you mentioned before, for pirates and the smuggler type people.
Pirates of the Caribbean got that right.
Mm-hmm. And there was a ship that was called the HMS Swan. And when the tsunami came,
Swan. Yeah.
It got swept up in the tsunami from the harbor, and it later ended up as a makeshift safe place for survivors because it had landed on top of a building. But it was not the only place to be hit. There was also a Spanish town on the main island that had 50 people lose their lives in a landslide. Total, about 3,000 people perished on just that day. But it didn't end there.
Oh.
Yeah. It, you know, with major disasters, there's chaos and looting as a way to survive. So it also probably didn't help that the majority of the population were pirates and smugglers.
No.
This caused thousands more, as well as illness and basic injuries, to have thousands more lose their lives in the weeks following.
Yeah, that kind of thing happens. It's just terrible, the whole ordeal. People get desperate and do things they normally wouldn't.
And after that,
well, these people might have. They were pirates and smugglers.
After this and the looting and everything, they decided it was best if Port Royal was not rebuilt. Instead, Kingston, which is now the biggest city in Jamaica, was built.
On another note that's also a tragedy, FedEx has messed up my delivery, so my Switch 2 that I pre-ordered is still not here.
Oh no.
It was supposed
to
be here on the 5th.
Well, and bad news for me, Bubonic, he's mad at me because I took his mouse away today.
Yeah, you brought it up early this morning, messed up my sleep schedule, and then I slept until 2.
You do that anyway.
Mm.
You're going to have to figure out your medication. We can't be doing this. We got a schedule to keep.
Pretty much all that's happened here. Okay, so let's get on to my hometown of Grundy. I call it my hometown. Mm. As soon as I was born, I was drug over there, and I stayed on and off until 2004. A lot of my daddy's family is from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and read off the sources. One was a documentary called Deceiving Innocence, Roger Coleman. There was also a show that I got this information from. It was called Did He Do It? It's season 1, episode 3. Also, thanks to our Aunt Kathy for sending me information to do this episode.
Yeah.
Really helped out. She's also in the show documentary, the Did He Do It? Season 1, episode 3. And she went to high school with both Roger and Wanda, which we'll get into later because there's going to be a true crime case in this. She was a journalist who was actually also assigned to attend Roger's execution. Spoiler alert. I think everybody knows it at this point. Well, everybody that knows the case. Another thing she told me, and I just wanted to mention, she said that one of his pants legs began smoking during the execution.
Oh, dear. She said to me once, it was like one of the worst experiences she's ever had to be.
I would have got up and ran away, but I don't do very well in certain shocking situations. So.
That kind of situation is fine with me, but I could see how it would traumatize and be very unpleasant.
Yeah. So we're going to get into a little bit of history of Grundy. Yeah, I don't have very much on the history, but Grundy, Virginia is a small town, and it's tucked away in Buchanan County in the Appalachian Mountains. And it turns out, I did not know this, but it was actually started as a logging town.
I always assumed it was a mining town.
No. It was apparently started as a logging town, and then they realized the whole mining thing, and then went into mining.
Yeah.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the population in the town of Grundy was only 837 in 2023.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's lowered since then, if I'm not mistaken.
People were moving out in 2004. I remember people moving out, moving over here to where we're at now, actually. Moving to Washington County.
Yeah. Grundy was founded in 1858, and since 1929, it has been hit by at least 9 major floods.
Yeah, I remember one of those.
The last big one that I found the most information about was in 1977. I feel like Hurricane Helene probably caused some damage over there too, but I don't know for sure. But I feel like Grundy floods all the time, it seems.
They moved the whole town to avoid it.
So, yeah. On April 4th, 1977, it was kind of like the last straw flood. 3 people lost their lives, and it caused nearly $15 million in damages. 16 inches of rain had fell on the town of Grundy in just one day, and this caused the river or creek, one source said stream, but I think it's more than a stream. It caused it to swell 25 feet.
Okay, there's a river that the creek of Slate
it's
Creek.
It's the fork.
Okay, there's a creek called Slate Creek. It runs down the road called Slate Creek.
Well, see, the sources I found said a Lavisa fork of the Big Sandy River, and I don't recall ever hearing it called that.
Well, there's also the fork where the river meets the creek.
That's, I'm assuming what it, because it says fork. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's what the problem is. I feel like you should know this more than I do.
Honestly, I don't remember the name of Big Sandy Creek either, but I lived on Slate Creek, so of course I'll remember the creek.
Yeah. The water slammed into the Grundy National Bank, which was about 250 feet away, and the mud and water smashed through the doors and into the lobby. For years, apparently there was a watermark on one of the brick walls that showed that the water had gotten to about 6 or 7 feet. But afterward, the lobby was left with about 6 to 10 inches of mud on the floor. After a few days of cleaning and when the power was finally turned back on, the bank opened again to the public. All the cash was accounted for, but it was gross and wet and muddy.
Send it to the laundromat.
Well, no, they just traded it in for new cash.
Yeah, Treasury good about that.
Yeah. And apparently, they made a smart decision by keeping important documents on the second floor after that one.
I'd say that was a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the other businesses didn't reopen after the damage from this flood, so many of the buildings were left empty. And Mama's telling me, I didn't find it. I want to find it, though. She was telling me that she's seen newspaper pictures or clippings or something where there was, this flood was so bad that there was cow carcasses like stuck under bridges at the top, under bridges.
I'd never seen those, but she'd probably seen them.
Yeah. So I thought that was sad for the cow. Then they came up with a Grundy flood control plan. The Army Corps of Engineers said, that's about enough of this, and decided the best course of action was to tear down most of downtown Grundy and rebuild it on higher ground.
Yes.
Yeah. They blasted out part of the mountain on the other side of the river, or creek, or whatever you want to call it.
It was a river.
Yeah. And then they leveled it out to rebuild there. It was a massive project. The source I've seen said it took nearly 30 years to be completed and costed about $177 million.
Yes. When did it get completed?
I think the 30-year estimate was including the planning phase, because since the project officially started construction in 2001, and it's now 2025, that's only 24 years.
Yeah.
And I want to say it's already completed.
Okay. I remember when it was the blasting.
Yeah.
I remember the blasting. And when before they'd done all that, there was a lot of empty buildings in certain parts of Grundy, and they were just like empty theaters. You could tell how big the town had once been because of the number of theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Normal place don't have 3 theaters in a town that size. Well, there was 2 empty theaters and one is still open, but I don't know if some of them had just moved and they just left the buildings there. It was just, you know, an unusual thing I remember about the place.
Yeah.
I was also always told how cheap it was to get a ticket back in the day. Like a quarter or a nickel. But they had double packed one of the, I guess, explosives, and the blast had went off and shot rocks across the river and into buildings that were due to be demolished anyway, I guess. So
But at the time, they were still in business.
So.
Oh, that must have been terrifying.
giant rocks all over the place. We heard the blast, and we lived a good few miles up the river, up the creek. It was a big mess. There was tractor and trailer with giant hole through it, and it was all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I bet insurance loved that.
I think they had my aunt for the Bristol Herald Courier write the article on that, and it said, "Blast Rattles Grundy."
Oh. They built a flood wall to protect the historical county courthouse, which was not moved to the new side of Grundy. And it's mostly, I'm sure, but it's on the National Register of Historical Places.
Yeah, it looks like a castle standing there.
It is. It's
big gray stone.
Yeah. And also, fun little fact, Kathy sent me this. You can find a song on YouTube by the Po-Town Ramblers, and it's about the Grundy Flood of 77. It's called the Grundy Flood of 77.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun little fact. Now, that's all I have with the flooding. Even though it said non-major floods, and I feel like there's been way more, that's the only one they seem to care about.
The neighboring area of Hurley flooded, and Grundy did too, but it was really a big deal in Hurley. It really destroyed the area. Yeah. When I was in elementary school in Grundy, Slate Creek ran in front of the school, and there was a mountain directly behind it. I don't know if they had to dig out a spot to put the middle school, but as I was in class and the flooding was happening, water started running off the mountain behind the school and through the doors.
Huh.
And then the creek that we had to cross on a bridge to get to the road of Slate Creek, it was getting high. Eventually, I think they sent us home.
Eventually.
After the classrooms started getting wet. But
see, that's the difference between
the National Guard had to show up
these days and what we had to deal with. You have to go to school until the water is up to your knee.
they eventually sent us home, and we were out of school for a while. I remember there was a baby's car seat.
Car seat.
Yeah. Hanging out of a tree where the water got so high.
The baby's okay.
Yeah. They was having difficulty getting milk to babies. Nobody had a goat or anything. I'm pretty sure a baby starved.
That's awful.
I might be wrong about that, but I remember that it was a big deal. Like, people were saying, could nobody find a goat or anything to feed the baby? It was pretty rough, that little flood. Well, that flood, a lot of places got destroyed. And it was either just during that or just after that that Grundy began to do the blasting and moving.
Yeah. Now we're moving on to the Roger Keith Coleman and the murder of Wanda McCoy. On March 10th, 1981, at 11:21 p.m., the Buchanan County Sheriff's Department received a call reporting the discovery of a 19-year-old girl called Wanda Faye McCoy. Her husband, Brad, had found her after returning home from work from the mine, and authorities arrived at the scene to find the living room in disarray and Wanda's body in the bedroom. It appeared she had been sexually assaulted, stabbed twice in the chest, and her throat was slashed so severely, she was nearly decapitated. Brad, Wanda's husband, was initially considered a suspect, as it is normal to look into the husband or significant other first. However, he was quickly cleared due to the alibi confirming he was at work at the time of Wanda's death. So Brad informed investigators that Wanda was shy and cautious, especially because she had been receiving obscene phone calls the previous year. And he made it clear to them that she would not open the door to just anyone. They even, I think in one of the documentaries, said that they had painted over the window and had like this little peephole thing carved out of the door so that nobody could really see in.
I remember passing that house every time we went from Grundy to the house. It was up on a little hill across Slate Creek.
Yeah.
I could still see it. Like, I could point it out to you now. If it's still there, I'm sure it is.
I think it was last time we went. So Brad provided the authorities with a few names of individuals that she would willingly feel comfortable allowing in her home and would answer the door for. They checked into a few of them, and they were quickly dismissed as well. But one that came up was Roger Keith Coleman. This was Wanda's 22-year-old brother-in-law and was identified as a person of interest. Roger worked as a coal miner, which most people do there, and he quickly He quickly became the primary suspect after investigators looked into his background. They discovered that when he was 13 years old, he was caught making obscene phone calls, which he admitted to the phone calls, but one of the sources I found said that he said that the voices told him to do it.
Ah.
He was convicted of this in juvenile court. And then there was a teacher named Brenda Ratliff, and she came forward with a terrifying experience involving Roger.
Was this the library?
No.
Okay.
I have that as well, though.
Okay.
At around 10:30 a.m., while she was home alone with her six-year-old daughter, Roger knocked on her door and asked her for some water. So she went to get the water for him, turn around, and when she returned, he had a gun pointed at her. He then made Brenda bind her daughter's hands and feet with tape while telling her that as long as she obeyed him, he would not harm her daughter. He then took Brenda to her bedroom and ordered her to undress. He threw her on the bed and unzipped his pants and then climbed on top of her. Brenda resisted, so he realized he had left his gun on a table outside of the bedroom and got up to retrieve it. Brenda used this opportunity to jump up, run downstairs, grab her daughter, and run outside to find help. Roger was convicted of attempted rape at the age of 18 and served about 2 years.
Brenda, it would have been a murder. I'm almost sure it would have been a murder. If he hadn't made no attempt to cover his face or anything, if he hadn't let her get away on accident, then she probably wouldn't survive that, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I think Brenda was able to identify him through a school yearbook
because
she was a teacher. In 1981, at around 8 p.m., as Pat Hatfield and a colleague was closing the Buchanan County Public Library, Roger strolled in with his pants unzipped and was pleasuring himself while he approached them.
There is something not right about that.
Yeah, and then he finished his business on the floor in front of the desk and apparently just stared at them briefly before just walking out like nothing strange had just happened. Why a library?
I don't know. It's already awkwardly quiet.
Of all places, a library?
Maybe it really wasn't a busy place. It was kind of busy. Well, if it's the same library, it was a fairly busy place when I was there.
I feel like it would be busy.
I would frequent the library.
But it was close to closing time.
Yeah.
They were closing, so maybe that's why. Pat's coworker sketched Roger, leading to his indictment for the incident, but the case never actually went to trial because about 2 months later, he was arrested for the murder of his sister-in-law, Wanda McCoy. Even though Roger cooperated with the investigation and maintained his innocence, his alibi for the night of Wanda McCoy's murder was proven to be a lie. A friend he had visited contradicted his timeline, and his own grandmother stated that he arrived home later than he claimed to authorities.
That's a good woman. Or she's seen sides of him that nobody else.
Yeah. Or she just didn't know.
Yeah.
But the wife, who also lived there, apparently agreed with his alibi, but the grandmother didn't.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's up with that. But this new information provided him with the amount of time that would have been able to commit the murder.
Yeah.
I think it was like 20, 30 minutes, something like that. Roger was arrested about a month after Wanda's murder due to forensic evidence that was discovered at the crime scene, along with the blood splatters that were found on the jeans Roger had provided the authorities with, and the blood type matched Wanda's, which actually happened to be a rare blood type.
He didn't really go through a whole lot of trouble to hide anything, did he?
I don't feel like he was probably the type of person to think about that. I feel like there's something wrong with him that was not diagnosed.
Yeah.
They also recovered from Wanda's body a pubic hair that matched the color of Roger's. Despite having many supporters who believed Roger was innocent and the fact that there was evidence, it still was not exactly 100% proof at that time, because forensic DNA stuff...
They can only match the blood types, not the DNA.
Yeah, it wasn't 100%, this is the guy, 95% could be this guy. It was just the blood type. So, in March 1982, after a four-day trial, Roger Coleman was convicted of the rape and murder of his sister-in-law, Wanda Faye McCoy. He was sentenced to death by electrocution.
We know how that went, thanks to your spoiler.
Yeah. Roger managed to convince many people he was innocent and obviously should not be executed. Even Mother Teresa and the Pope spoke out about it.
Pope John Paul?
I don't know which Pope. Whichever Pope was around at that time said that he should be allowed to live. And even in his prison diary, he claimed he was innocent. He was said to be quite likable and sincere to those that met him while he was on death row. He even participated in a documentary called The Choice is Yours, which was to encourage children to avoid getting into trouble and going to jail.
I'm on death row. Kids, don't do that.
Yeah. some of these kids received advice from Roger for their problems through writing letters. And sadly, a copy of this video was sent to the Grundy school where Brenda's daughter attended.
Oh, dear.
She was forced to watch the video of the man she had witnessed attempt to rape her mother after being tied up herself with tape. And some of her classmates were pen pals with him.
Oh, dear.
So she had to deal with that also.
I had never heard that.
In 1988, Jim McCloskey joined Roger's defense team in an attempt to prevent his execution. Jim was genuinely convinced that Roger was innocent of both the rape and murder of Wanda. He once stated that those who argue for Roger's guilt in Wanda's murder point towards the previous attempted rapes of Brenda and the public masturbation at the library, and this was to distract from the specifics of the murder case of Wanda. He believed that these two incidents were used to unfairly sway opinions against Roger.
I don't know if it's unfair, but it is a big deal to just jump to conclusions on this.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand both points of view. Yes, I feel like the information of he's done strange things, strange bad things in the past, but you can't automatically, like, yes, you should think about that, but you can't automatically be like, he is guilty because of those two things, of this particular thing.
Yeah.
You have to prove it first, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. Jim worked for 4 years to keep Roger off the electric chair, but they kept losing their appeals. After 10 years on death row, Roger's execution date was set for May 20th, 1992. Before the scheduled execution, Roger was featured on the cover of Time magazine with the headline, "This man might be innocent. This man is due to die."
They were right. He might be innocent. He might have
been. At the time,
it
was not 100%
guaranteed.
Yeah. On the morning of his execution, Roger was actually scheduled for a polygraph test in one final attempt to prove his innocence. I am one of the some, thought this was a bad idea because who's not already going to be nervous on the morning or the day that they are due to die?
Yes.
And they know. So I feel like the timing for that was not good. That was just waiting to be a fail. Roger obviously did not pass the test, but he didn't even ask before he left the Virginia State headquarters in Richmond, which is where it was done.
He didn't even ask if he had passed or not?
No.
Well, that's an odd sign.
Yeah. But then again, it was the morning he was due to die.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm pretty sure if I was in that situation, I don't know where they're taking me to.
Yeah, I would probably be a little nervous and panicky and forget important things. On May 20th, 1992, at 11:15 p.m., Roger Coleman was executed by electric chair for the rape and murder of Wanda McCoy. Iron Kathy, who was at the execution of her former classmate, mentioned that there was doubt about his guilt. She was wondering, am I watching an innocent man die?
Mm-hmm.
Which probably did not help the situation that you're already in. Definitely would feel bad. For nearly 25 years, people wondered if an innocent man was put to death. However, in January 2006, DNA testing had improved significantly. This allowed for the re-examination of semen from the crime scene be compared to Roger's preserved blood, which he had willingly give. At the beginning, I said he was
cooperating,
yeah. The DNA evidence was a match, and it proved that Roger was guilty of the rape and murder of Wanda McCoy. Those doubts were finally lifted. He was guilty. Innocent man did not die.
Yeah.
But that, I'm sure, was a lot of anxiety
for a long time
for some people. Also, I wanted to mention Jim McCloskey, the one who had believed that Roger was innocent. After hearing about the DNA results and the proof that he was not innocent, he actually publicly admitted that he was wrong about Roger and that he had been manipulated by him, which I like to mention because a lot of these types of people do not like to admit when they're wrong.
Yeah.
But he did publicly. So, and then there's a couple other little interesting stories. Well, one that I didn't know about in Grundy. On January 16th, 2002, a 43-year-old student was responsible for a shooting at the Appalachian School of Law's campus.
You didn't know about that?
How would I know about that?
I was there more than you. Maybe yes. That's why.
This resulted in the death of two students and one professor. He was sentenced to a multiple life terms in prison. And the first name was Peter. I'm not going to try to say his last name because I looked it up, listened to it. I don't want to annoy anybody by even trying.
Okay. Fair enough.
You can look up Grundy School Appalachia Law Shooting if you want to know. Yeah, and that's what I have on Grundy.
There was a series of floods. We didn't get it.
That's why I did these together, because the only flood thing I could find was the flood of 77.
Yeah.
Even though it said there's been 9 major ones, and I'm pretty sure there's been more than that since.
It was,
I don't know.
The National Guard was there when I was.
I think I would have to go to the library and look at those newspapers. But I've never done that before, so I don't know how to go about doing that.
I'm sure there's a YouTube video explaining how to do it.
And I'm kind of afraid of going in there and embarrassing myself.
I'm pretty sure they get trained to show you how to operate that stuff.
Yeah, Kathy said that there would probably be more information on those types of things if I went and did that, but I'm afraid to.
Maybe one day we can revisit, because I like to talk about Grundy. I miss Grundy. It was my place to call home.
I miss the beach.
I miss a coal mine.
I didn't live there, but it's my place I call home. We're opposites. So you like the freezing cold and the snow. I want hot. Bring on the 80s and 90s degree weather. I also want the ocean. I want, or at least a body of water of some sort nearby.
Yeah.
Preferably the ocean.
We were just below a series of strip mines where we lived in Grundy. And there was,
we had a pond.
There was ponds draining off from the strip mines under each layer.
An old dirty pond, probably, now that I think about it.
On each layer of the strip mine, it's like a step going up the side of a mountain. And each layer had a series of ponds where water would collect from the layer above it. When we went to swim, I know this now, we were literally swimming in mine runoff. They were shut down, of course. The mines were shut down.
What was in it?
Well, whatever comes from mine runoff.
Google.
I remember being out in one of those ponds, and since there's a sheer cliff behind the pond from the layer above it, rocks started falling into the pond from the cliffside, and we had to scurry out of the pond while the rocks splashed and came down. I know we couldn't eat the fish from the river in Grundy because of
you can't do it from Mendota. You're not supposed to do it from Mendota either.
Yeah.
Apparently there's mercury in the water, according to that song.
Yeah.
So, dissolved metals, primarily iron, aluminum, and magnesium, would be in the water we played in as children. High concentrations of sulfates, heavy metals like lead and copper, and other potentially toxic substances.
I learned later that they would sink some equipment was too old or too messed up to bother hauling it out or anything and replacing. They would just sink it in those ponds.
I need to go get a checkup. I gotta have a primary doctor first. Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm always getting dizzy.
I don't know. But still, I like the place. We would make trips out that way. Me and you would occasionally. We haven't done it in a while, but just go right around, see the old place. Sometime, maybe visit some old friends. It was the home of the Golden Wave. They have a great wrestling team. And they have a giant Golden Wave painted on a cliff side in the middle of town.
That's another thing that I found. Apparently, the year of the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the floods, I don't know which one, but one of the floods that Grundy had, the students that were on the wrestling team, while they were not able to go to school, got together and practiced their wrestling to pass the time, and they ended up winning championship, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a sports person, but
it was well known about the coal mines, you know, but it wasn't really a big thing going on when I was over there. There's a few little, you know, you just didn't see things like that. But my grandpa had all of his leftover odds and ends. I've still got belt buckles from his loyalty to the coal mine company that they would give him.
It sounds like a cult.
And years later, I was, I guess, 19, 18, maybe 20. I was hanging out over here with a group of family friends, and one of them showed up with one of their kids, and he had on a pair of black stained pants, looked like work pants, with a big strip of yellow reflective material going down each leg. I looked at him for a minute and said, "Are you from Buchanan County?" He said, "How'd you know that?" "I just seen those and knew. I don't know." It was just, the only place I could think of that would come from.
Yeah.
It was just a thing I remember. I don't know. I need to go back over there again sometime. I've heard more of the family have moved back over that way. They bought a house. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Congratulations on the house.
Yeah. It's on Slate Creek.
Oh. Is it our
house? No.
I was going to say.
We lived on Ousley Branch. It was up Slate Creek.
Oh, that's why I'm so I don't know. I don't remember much about it, to be honest. Because I look at the map sometimes.
I was 14 when we left, and you were 10. So the last time you were over there staying for any period of time, you were 10 years old. So I can't blame you for not remembering everything.
Yeah. I do remember the rock slide while you were playing in the apparently heavy metal pond. That should be a band name. Heavy Metal Pond.
I don't have a band. No. That would have to include a banjo.
Oh, well, I guess if we're talking about Grundy as we come up with the name, then yes, a heavy metal banjo band.
You just, but I'm sure there's somebody darted in it. Probably somebody popular, and they're like, oh, you wouldn't believe who did. Slash started out with a banjo or something. Okay, well, I do appreciate this, and thank you to our Aunt Kathy for
the information and the help.
Her name is Kathy Steele. You could look it up, and there's articles from the Bristol Hood Courier and other, just everywhere. It's because of her we get to go on all these vacations and places like that. The Mothman Festival from many episodes back. Anyway, if you like what you heard here, we have other podcasts that are a little bit old right now. We haven't updated them in a while, but there will be new episodes eventually once we get everything settled out and find a game worthy of talking about again. We have Leveling Duo. It's a podcast for me and Beth and me and my friend Dakota talk about video games we really enjoy, mostly from our youth. We have Brother Knows Quest, a podcast where I tell Beth here about tabletop role-playing games, different one each week if we can cover it. Those in this podcast is all part of the Gruesome Gaming Group podcast network. We have links in the description. It's a Linktree link. It'll take you to all of our socials. You can reach out to us there. There's also emails below the Linktree link if you want to email us. In the Linktree, you'll find the homepage for the website, Gruesome Gaming Group, where you can find all of our podcasts. Subscribe through there, or you can just Google it or find us on your podcast app of choice. We're also on YouTube. There's Gruesome Gaming Plays on YouTube. Link is also in that link tree. You can watch us play video games, or Beth's been playing a lot of Sims lately. We each have little robots now. They're Ebos, E-B-O, and they're little robots you can roll around the house in and play with your pets and check up on people and talk to them and see through them.
Pester the pets.
When I visit down there, usually on the computer,
mm-hmm.
As long as I can look at you until Daisy attacks the robot and it rolls across the floor. She rolled me down the stairs the other day.
I know.
But yeah, that's how that goes. I was woken up from a little nap today by my robot and Scott coming in to tell me it was almost time to record.
That's because you won't message back.
I mute my phone. When I'm asleep, I mute my phone.
Well, that's why you're always asleep.
I can't do it. My eyes just won't stay open.
That's because you're taking all of your medicine in the morning.
No, I don't know more.
Well, you need to figure that out because we got jobs to do.
Yeah. Oh, also in the link tree, there is a eBay shop. It's where we sell odds and ends, little tech pieces, things like that. Check it out if you'd like something. If you have a particular request for something you'd like us to say or do, send us an email or send a message on any of the socials or even on the eBay shop. I'll get the message there faster than any. They're better about giving me notifications, apparently.
I'll look at my horrific history and hauntings email every morning.
Yeah.
But nobody ever sends anything. So
please reach out to us. Leave us a review. Share the podcast. It comes out every other week for now. We're catching up. We're making a backlog again. Once we get the backlog set up, we can go to every week again. Just because life is so unpredictable. And our internet's unpredictable now.
Yeah, I think it's the weather.
We were down for a day here not too long, just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But it's great when it's working. But when I don't have it, I can't upload anything. The cell service is so bad, you can't even use the hotspot. It's rough. It's like living like we did 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I ended up just getting the Xbox 360 plugged up again and put in the Inuyasha DVDs. I was like, I didn't finish that last year. Yeah. Like, I like to watch it once a year. So I'll just, we'll start this again.
So there we go. That's our little update on things.
Because we don't have internet.
And also, there's a link to donate or tip us if you think we deserve that. If you, like I said, if you don't and you still want to help, just reach out. We do like to hear from people, and or check out the eBay shop. See if there's anything there you like. My mom's got some stuff on there, and crosses and made of beads that she's built. Yeah, beading.
Bead crafts.
We also got cell phone cases for a lot of iPhones.
At some point.
New. A lot of the stuff I sell is new. I don't sell used things. I'll buy new stuff and sell. Anything that is used, listed as used, is used.
At some point, I would like to see if any of my resin crafts or Cricut crafts sell on that.
If it does, you better use better ink than we've had on the ones I've got.
It's the paper.
Okay.
It's not the ink. I have to get the paper.
I touch those to put them somewhere and it comes off my hands.
Yeah, no. The paper...
She's going to replace that.
Yeah. The paper that I have when I first got the Cricut and the printer and I was just starting and trying to figure it out, I got a big pack of glossy, thick photo sticker paper, and that's the problem. I need to get a normal sticker paper.
She does that. I 3D print things. And I'm licensed to perform weddings in any state but Virginia, my home state.
The home state.
Virginia is real strict about that. I'm guessing they're afraid people will try to claim taxes that they were a church or something. You know how they don't have to pay taxes.
Don't you have to pay taxes or not pay taxes if you're...
Yeah, that's why I'm saying they're probably very strict about who they allow.
Not even just in Virginia. I mean, in general.
Yeah, but Virginia's the one that cracked down on it for some reason.
I don't know.
There's another state somewhere, but it's so far away, I wouldn't even consider going that far. Anyway, thank you for listening to us ramble. Check out all of our links. Eventually, we'll have some streams up, but after we get the YouTube channel with a few more videos up, it'll be fine. The Gruesome Gaming Plays. We have a Gruesome Gaming Group podcast channel as well. All the links will be in the description. But thank you for listening. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been HH&H. Bye-bye.